the residential zone.
I mean, in my mind, it's like, you know, people living in their camper trailer while they build their house or something. I think, yeah, I agree. I think that probably just some clear definitions on what actually qualifies as a temporary dwelling unit. Like, yeah, you like know, they can't have a permanent foundation or...
And I assume well, he doesn't live in what he's building.
Permit got petition, you got carried out in 12 months. So if you're finding out that a permanent foundation and then
well,
looking at it
out. I didn't mean permanent foundations. I meant like something more structural, I guess.
I thought it was.
Yeah. It is. Down. It's allowed. As long as he's, and he is over here, he's building.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Sorry, Sid.
Create a little bit more boundary there to make sure that people understand, like, it's really meant to be like on wheels or something.
Well, so if you're talking about that though, that on wheels, then it goes to the Sundrop deal where they're talking about those one housing units that they're going to build that are going to be sitting on the ground, but they're semi-temporary because they're only built to last for like 5 to 10 years, and then they'll move them out and, and develop that.
Yeah, so and maybe those are like homes or something. Yeah, maybe we can find a definition for what those units are actually called, and you know, still create like a clear definition of what that expectation is. I would also think that we might want to consider putting in workforce housing, especially with like big resort. Coming in.
Well, that's what the them houses are, workforce housing.
But permanent ones that don't go away in 5 years, but that the lodge, like a resort lodge, could
I see
use and designate for their workforce year to year.
Yeah, so there was the ones over at Sundrop is, you know, of course, it's what they showed us they would be. They're a metal frame building, and they set them down, pipe them all in, but they don't have foundations or something on them. And that's for, basically, that's, like they said, they can last for 5 to 10 years because they would want to eventually come in and remove those to put homes and stuff there because that's where they'll make their money. But these homes are not for sale, and they're only for rent. So I'm not sure how that fits, but... You know,
yeah, I think it's two separate things. Like the temporary dwelling should be like really in lieu of construction. Like those units are meant for people to live in while they are building a house, or workers to live in while they're building a resort or whatever, you know, a big conglomerate construction.
Those buildings there, though, I know that one of the purposes of them, too, is to be able to rent them to people. Anybody that wants to rent one can rent one. It's not just
the one that they're proposing, the temporary dwelling ones?
Yeah, they're for, like, the guides and people, like, you know, if the guides want, you know, need to rent a place instead of camping in the woods, you know, or anybody that wanted to rent one, they could rent it. They'll own them. They're not for sale, so they'll own them, and then they'll rent them out. But their plan would be that at the end of their, whatever the time limit is on them, that they would be taken out, and then that area would be redeveloped.
So that, everything on developing that as a dispersed motel, which is just rental units that are dispersed. So that's their intention. They look at this and they've said, oh yeah, but the dispersed motel matches exactly what we're doing. We'll build those in accordance with the required building code, but that land is going to become more valuable. And at some point, we're going to want to take those out and we're going to want to build housing where our dispersed motel was. And so that's their intention, is to use the dispersed motel to build the structures that Mayor Johns is talking about.
I think that's also, that's where we need to make sure that when the building permit's issued, that it's specified in there that those buildings are to be removed and X amount of years or something.
They yeah, 100%.
They can't fall in disrepair, and they can't be, they do have to be removed at some point. And it's just whatever's
decided. So that's something that we can look at in code. We wouldn't be able to do it necessarily with the building, because that only enforces building code. We would have to do that within our land use ordinance. Let's say if you're building under this particular use, that this use has an expiration date. So from the time that you build it, the time that you retire it is 5, 7 years, whatever. And then we would have to write in some enforcement code so that there would be a way to enforce it, you know, and make them remove those units when they're still meeting all applicable building and code standards. So they're occupiable units, but we're going to force them to remove it. So we'd have to really cover our bases where we're, because, you know, I can foresee somebody selling something like that and not disclosing that they had an expiration date on them, and then look out, here come the lawsuits. And yeah, so yeah. If we write good code around that, we can do it, but we got to write good code.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that appears to be two separate purposes, okay. You know, yeah. the temporary dwelling units versus a dispersed motel, which I would expect to very be more different. Permanent, so.
Yeah, very different. It doesn't have to be permanent because it's a dispersed motel.
Sure,
you know, that yeah, so, to be permanent.
So I see that there, in my mind, I envision about 50 of those units being built in for workforce housing, because we're trying to also provide, we're trying to provide workforce housing, low income, you know, place for people to rent and stay here, and you know, and eventually, you know, they can buy one of the houses that's being built or something. But you know, we got to get something for people and taking care of the guides and. And yeah. People like that. We've tried to do this for a long time and we haven't got it done.
Yeah. Yeah, I just think some, you know, sharper clarification on exactly, you know, so that there's not any gray area between the resident who pulls in his camper trailer to build his house versus, you know, the resort putting in, you know, temporary buildings for 5 years. For workforce and guides and affordable housing, right? They're like totally different things, so.
Yeah, because what I see, one of the things I see about it is what you do is when they do something like that, it was like, you have to have paved roads, paved parking lots, parking spots, you have to have curbs and sidewalks, gutters, you know, landscape, you know, if you're gonna build something like that, it just can't be sitting in the sagebrush. It has to be like, hey, it's a livable place that people would want to stay in. And, yeah. And, but they'd that's part of the way I see it, is that, you know, they got to invest a little bit into this thing.
Yeah.
Make it as like living in a place, not just living in a camp trailer somewhere out in the middle of nowhere.
Right. Yeah. I just don't want there to be confusion, you know, between resident home builder and then... So I think that this new development coming in definitely should be under either a dispersed motel label or a workforce housing label, and not under a temporary dwelling.
Well, to be clear, they can't do it as a temporary dwelling. There's only one allowed per property. It has to be there for only 12 months, no longer than that. It can only be there on that property when there's an active building permit. On that property and something else being built. So
okay, so maybe I misheard that, and it wasn't intended to be that at all. So
no, that was, it might not be appropriate in that zone. That's a use and a definition that's already in our code, and it's exactly what you're talking about. It's a 12-month maximum. Unit on a property that has an existing building permit. And the way it is working, it says during the construction or remodeling of the principal dwelling unit. It doesn't say a quick stop or something like that. It references a dwelling unit specifically. So this is for use in a residential zone for 12 months while the principal dwelling unit is being built or remodeled. That's and like Rachel pointed out earlier, are there dwelling units in there that would even qualify for a temporary dwelling unit to be on that site? And so I don't think there are, but the way it's written right now, so it's probably not necessary to even have a temporary dwelling unit zone.
Yeah, that makes sense. So I think that next step for me would
that
be
answers
like
your question about I was wrong.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was talking to Rachel here about I was wrong about something earlier today.
Why?
Imagine that, huh?
Shocking. I think it's a lot of work, Alan. I know. I think next step for me would be taking some time to read it within the whole scope of the section.
Yep.
And then coming back with maybe more in-depth feedback from, you know, the broader view. And then I think then we can look at starting to integrate it and get this going.
Yeah, I think once everybody gets their head around it as a concept, maybe we need to come in there with some handouts or some drawings or some electronic renderings or something like that, so we can actually kind of envision what this would look like. And I do think it's important to kind of do a worst case scenario of test of this code. Are we trying to imagine, you know, how could you abuse it so that we can get it right? Yeah, this is one of those things that I think we could make a mistake with if we're not careful.
Yeah, definitely. Well, good job.
So, Alan, what are our next steps with this?
I think we need to keep it on the agenda, and the next time around, now that everybody's had an introduction to it, the first reading of it, I think we need to almost work session it, and maybe that is the next step, where we can just be in the same room with each other with a whiteboard and concepts and an informal setting where we can really talk this through and see what we're creating and try to figure out how we would, you know, not only do we need to talk about what we're creating, but how are we really going to use it? Is this actually going to be useful for the town? Or do we just need to maybe look at dispersed motels and put it in a resort residential area or something like that instead? So.
Yeah. Okay. I like that. Jamie, can you just make a note that for the next agenda, which is our work session anyway, that this will be what we focus on?
Yes.
I feel like if I say that and it's on the record and one of us does the, or when you do the minutes for it, we're going to remember that that's what we're going to do.
I got it.
Thank
you. I
will
remember. You're welcome.
Okay. We didn't go over the additions for section 1304. I don't know if we need to.
That's up to you. They're pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
I would almost put that in housekeeping category.
Okay.
But not necessarily. All I'm really doing there is making sure that a 12-foot travel lane is respected for two-directional traffic and a 10-foot parking lane is respected for anywhere that on-street parking is allowed. So, and then I'm really trying to stay within the requirements of state code. So that's all I'm really trying to do is that's not one of these earth shattering ones. It's just trying to make sure that proper design considerations are associated with the numbers that we have in our code.
Okay. All right. So we'll get that on the agenda for next the next work session, which I think is August 19th.
Oh, the 9th?
The 19th. I think it's on the 19th.
Yeah, it is. Okay. Yeah, we have that public hearing first.
Right before it, and then, yeah. But the public hearing's at 6:30, or do we do it at 6? 6:30. Cool. Okay, so then moving on to old business was Dutch John general plan, and then Jamie was kind enough to email out like a red line of the current general plan with suggestions. And we had previously discussed as a group, like, we wouldn't want to do modifications to the plan itself and then just provide amendments. And then internally we were doing things and there was a discussion that really the changes that we were looking at were kind of holistic. Like, a lot of the concepts weren't just chapter specific, but that it was kind of a theme that kind of was referenced throughout. So I had a conversation with Butch and we're pretty sure that we found the answer that we can do edits to the general plan and present it to town council exactly like we've done with ordinance changes. It just has to go through the public hearing process. Alan, do you have any reason to believe that it would be otherwise?
No, you're exactly right. That's how you can do it. A lot of times when you really dive into the process of revisioning your community, you really need somebody to gather the data and the metrics, because a lot of general plan and stuff is based on a lot of survey data and stuff like that. And we're going to need to do that at some point. But it's supposed to be a living document that we can amend and correct in between those major revisions.
Okay. Yeah, and I know that the bigger revision is planning for next year, but I think in the meantime, as long as what we're not touching are the statistics and things like what you're talking about, because we don't have the capacity to do that, but really just making sure that the overall general guidance and terminology and direction and vision for the town is cohesive and matches how the town council currently feels that the direction is that we should go. So, Jamie, would you be able to, this awesome document that you put together for us,
explain how I got to it?
You can do that. And I was also going to ask, because right now it's PDF. And I know how it got here, but I wonder if there's a way that we can get it into a Word document so that we can work on it back and forth together like we did with the ordinance.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because I have a separate document that I had started with some suggested changes. And then Jamie did this, and then we still need to come together. So go ahead, Jamie.
Yeah, no, I reviewed what you had started, and I just, like we spoke, kept coming back to the point where the general plan is more like, you know, it's kind of like an elaborate design and conceptualization of a grand space. And so the themes and goals and desires of the town, it's not like an ordinance where we get to tackle a topic one headline at a time. It seems to be like, as I was digging through it, I kept running into the same concept that needed to be changed, that we were only focusing on chapter 3. And I was like, okay, this isn't going to work, or because it's not going to be cohesive. So, and I did look through your notes and added to them a little bit, but I think we can just replace that with this and then we can modify it from there.
I agree.
So, basically, what I did was take the goals we had outlined, that we discussed in the last, couple of meetings, the future development, discouraging, certain types of, development such as HOAs, establishing priority for low-income housing or affordable housing, Making sure that we've emphasized trails, open spaces, walkability, just the whole recreational side, that we're environmentally friendly, that we're conscious of our surroundings and wildlife and infrastructure and ecological areas, critical areas, and so forth. So, what this does is redline the overall, it kind of reemphasizes those overall goals. And we basically have a cool summarization and evaluation of where our weak points are within the general plan, where those concepts and ideas and goals need to be clarified and or added if they're missing altogether. There is a lot of suggested changes within it. And the biggest one was, I also believe we use shall a lot, or encourage, instead of shall. We use really kind of soft and evasive language as to, instead of being more enforceful within the general plan. You know, if we want developers to include something, then we need to incorporate the word shall more often. But I don't know, there, how far do you want me to go into it?
Jamie, really quick, let me interject. You're exactly right. Although, the one thing that I would say is the only thing that's truly enforceable is our code. That's the main tool that any community has. So the intention is always create this master document like this, but then write your code to implement all of the things that are in there. And that's part of the reason that they don't use shall and things like that. But you do put that in your code.
When I was reading other plans, the shall, it depends actually from if we are discussing something within the general plan that coincides with the code, then shall, we should use the word shall, so that if it's conceptual, like open for interpretation as far as like what I would see as like a natural building, like that blends in with the landscape. Do you know what I'm saying? Some guy might think wood, or you know, there's vague and more topics that you can be vague with, that you can encourage people to use certain types, or to take a certain look upon their development or whatever. You know what I'm saying? But there are certain things, if we expect it within the town, then we should then use more direct language. That's as far as what I was researching, that was the difference. If it correlates with an ordinance, we should be direct so that there's not ambiguity between the general plan and the ordinance.
And that is true. You don't really want that, although there's no laws out there that say that you can't be in complete conflict with your general plan. People will take you to task for it, but there's not a legal problem with it. You're just a foolishness, and you know, you're to disrespect your own general plan.
That was one of the complaints. You have to put it in the code. And we can go back and forth there, but and nothing's written in stone, obviously. That's why it's all redlined. So, you know, if it's too forward, then we can always back off that verbiage. But it's trying to because it was one of the complaints prior to going into the moratorium that our ordinances and that our ordinances did not match the general plan. So,
and it was a fair observation, you know.
Yeah.
But I think it really reflected not the fact that there was a problem with the general plan, or that there was a problem with the code particularly. It reflects there was a problem with both that needed to be fixed. So,
for sure. I do like the, if you're on the what? Sorry, I'm trying to see what you're on.
It's on ES11. So page 8, essentially. I don't know if you're following along or you're trying to just read here.
I was just reading what page you were on. I think some of it might, it's a lot, so...
Yeah, so
it's a good jump off point, and I think for you and I, the best way to approach this to get something to town council would be to put it in the working doc and then dig through it and remove things that we think are too direct or remove things that we think are unnecessary. And then I think we will have something real to take to them for suggested changes, you know?
Yeah, I agree. That's exactly what I was going to suggest, especially I don't think that we have time tonight to dive into any one section, but helping us define what our next step is with this, I think is good enough.
But my favorite part was the vision statement. I did like that.
Do you remember where it was? It's got to be over here at the beginning.
It's right after the it's basically page 12, right before page 12. Oh,
I was close. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you find it?
Yeah, I've got it. Can you see my screen? That I can read it.
I just see the map.
Oh, what if I go down a little bit?
Other way, I think.
It's right here. Well, unless you're looking at...
Right there. Community vision and growth tiers, so... you were on it. You were reading the old one, but the proposed edit.
Got
it. Really like.
Got it.
And that's always a little bit of a problem, and I've always had this problem with consultants when they do these. It's a lot of times they just pull some boilerplate stuff out from things they've done in the past and kind of tweak it a little bit, and I get why they do it, but the vision statement that is proposed like this, where it comes from the heart of the community and we aren't locked into it by a consultant, is really nice.
Yeah.
I mean, it really, that's how you sum up what you want to be.
And I think one thing too is if you would, and I think it's in there that I seen that deal about culinary water and stuff, is just that any development has to use the water and sewer system from Augusta Shawn. They have to tie into it. There's no exemption. And the only reason I say that to make sure it's in there strongly is because we're fixing to go back to the county to try to negotiate that water and sewer plant again. And mm-hmm. their concern is that they just think for some reason that we would screw the RDA up around or something like that, you know, not do that. And I, you know, I'm trying to say it's in the ordinance. It says we got to do it, but
yeah.
So if we put it in the general plan, or if it pops out and says, hey, it's in the general plan that says you have to use the water and sewer, you know, because it truly is important, because that's the only way we will ever reduce the operating the service to the individuals.
Yeah.
The more people we have tied into it, the less it should cost us.
Right.
And that's the whole deal. And so that's fixing to come up again, maybe in a week or two.
Yeah. Okay, well, I will put this in a working doc. And we did email this to the PNZ. I did. So anyone that would like, you know, to read some of the red line stuff and give any preliminary thoughts or opinions, we're definitely open and welcome. Anything and everything. But for now, Rachel, I will put this in a working doc so that we can edit the red line and get it finalized and over to the town. So.
Sounds great. Thank you, Jamie.
Yep.
All right. Then that concludes everything on our agenda. So unless there are any objections, I would move to adjourn.
I second that.
All right. It is 8:46.